Good morning. The Lord be with you. It's a privilege and a joy to be with you this morning after taking a week off last Sunday. A couple of announcements to mention. Please, I would draw your attention, first of all, to the St. Paul Quilters 17th Annual Fundraiser, Sunday, March 1st, a fundraiser for Lutheran World Relief Quilters. Information is in your bulletin. Secondly, your transition team steering committee has appointed three task forces, which are getting going this week. And please, we urge you to read through the information in your bulletin and to keep your transition team in your prayers. And third, if you haven't tried Sunday morning Bible class for a time, we'd like to invite you on over for a cup of coffee. And today, a study of 2 Timothy chapter 4. So please join us if you haven't tried it for a while. We'd love to have you. We begin with our opening song.
Thank you.
Please rise. Today is the fifth Sunday in the Epiphany season, a season of lights, and being the light of the world is our theme today. Liturgy begins on page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you,
and justly
deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the innocent, by your sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the just decrees of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes.
Is now and ever shall be, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
All three lessons for today invite us to think it through, what it means to be living the Christian faith, to be living the faith. The first reading is in Isaiah 58. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, senior choir. A second reading is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5.
Glory be to thee, Lord.
You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we invite children forward, children ages 0 to 99. If you're still acting like a child, you're still welcome to come on up here. Come on up here. Thanks for coming up. Thanks for coming up. Anybody else?
Nope.
Come on up. What's your name?
Joel.
Joel?
Yeah.
Joel and?
Michaela.
Yeah. All right. Well, today, I have, I think it's one of the greatest flashlights I've ever had, and I want to show you how great it is. Hey, thanks for coming up. Hey, Maverick. How many of you have a flashlight at home? How many of you like to take the flashlight and shine it around and look for trouble? Did you ever do that?
Yeah.
Is this the best flashlight you've ever seen? I'm going to turn it on. Is it the best one you ever saw?
Huh? Is it the best one you ever saw, Michaela? Can you see it pretty well? No, you can't. What's wrong with what I'm doing right now?
I put it in the trash.
It's putting in the trash, right? I'm hiding it under a basket. So today, this is the simple lesson I want you to learn. Jesus says you are to be the light of the world. In a little bit, we're going to sing a song about hiding it under a bushel basket. No. So how do you think children sometimes hide the... Well, what is the gospel light anyway? Anybody, you know what it is? It is the love of Jesus, right? It's the love of Jesus. And so today we think about what it means to be. See, I can shine it right on Leland over there. Yeah, look at him. He's all scrubbed up and looking good over there today. And he's smiling. So to have the love of Jesus in your heart is when you walk around and you know that you're a Christian and you do good stuff. You do good stuff. Like how many of you woke up this morning and as soon as your parents said it's time to go to church, how many of you said, yes, I get to go to church today? How many of you said something like, I don't want to get up? I don't want to get up, right? So when you kind of have a bad attitude, that is when you're sort of hiding your light, your love of Jesus underneath the basket. How many of you have ever been naughty? Raise your hand. Have you ever been naughty? Can you tell us one naughty thing you did? I don't want any deep, dark secrets now. Did you ever... did your mom ever tell you to clean your room and then you didn't clean your room?
No.
No, you never did that?
No.
Well, I have grandchildren that will do that. I'll say, clean up after yourselves, and they just kind of ignore me. And when they ignore me, they are hiding their light under the basket. And so today, we learn that every day we have all kinds of possibilities of just sharing the love of Jesus. And if you're a child, that means getting up in the morning and having a good attitude and cooperating with your moms and your dads and your grandmas and your grandpas. It means saying thank you and please. And at the lunch table at school, it means not just shoving other kids out of the way to get to lunch, but letting other people go first and just being polite and kind. All right? So we're gonna invite you to know that all the little times of life where you have a chance to be kind and polite and patient, that's a chance to let your light shine, to let other people know that Jesus loves you and you just want to spread that love. So we're going to sing. I need you all to sing up here. We're going to sing the first verse, and everybody out there can join in. So here we go. This little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little gospel light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine all the time, let it shine. We're gonna say basket now. Hide it under a basket, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a basket, no, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a basket, no, I'm gonna let it shine, all the time, let it shine. Shine all over Waseca, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine all over Waseca, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine all over Waseca, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine all the time. Let it shine. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for being the light of the world. Help us this week to be your little lights all over the neighborhood, wherever we go. May you get all the glory. Amen. Thanks for coming up today. Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, a Sunday school superintendent named Dan tells a story of a girl named Sarah who came to Sunday school one day against her will. Against her will. When Dan told Sarah that he was glad she had come to their Sunday school, she responded by kicking him hard in the shins. He responded by being kind to her and teaching her about the love of Jesus. The next Sunday, he greeted her with a friendly spirit, and she responded by kicking him hard in the shins twice. Dan wondered whether this would ever work very well, but he kept on loving her and teaching her about Jesus. A few Sundays later, she sat next to him in church. She actually put her head on his shoulder. She looked up at him and she said, "Mr. Daly, I hate you." He said, I know. And he thought to himself, well, this is better than getting kicked in the shins anyway. And so he kept on being kind and teaching her the love of Jesus. And you know what happened as time went on, as Sarah kept coming to Sunday school, the love of Jesus in that Sunday school won the day, and Mr. Daly and Sarah became best of friends. Praise be to God that Mr. Daly lived his faith in such a way that Sarah eventually saw his good work. She tasted the love of Christ. She was attracted to that church as a place of refuge. She came to believe in Jesus as her Savior, and as an added bonus for the Sunday school superintendent, no more getting kicked in the shins. 2 weeks ago, we began a four-part sermon series, which has now become a three-part sermon series on the subject of Christian faith. We focused on the blessedness of faith. Next Sunday, we'll focus on mountaintop faith, which is Transfiguration Sunday. Today, our sermon theme is living the faith. We explore what our life together looks like, what it feels like when we live our faith in such a way that other people see our good works, they taste the love of Christ, they are attracted to this church as a place of refuge and good news, and there is less and less getting kicked in the shins, and our Father in heaven gets all the credit. Two truths we offer today about living the Christian faith at home, at the workplace, and out in society. Truth number one is that Christ is counting on us to be the salt of the earth, not honey. The salt of the earth, not honey. When Jesus tells us to be the salt of the earth, he is counting on us to fight decay and corruption. We live in a society where people increasingly large percentages are falling away, they're drifting away, even running away from the organized church. In our society, the God-ordained institution of marriage between male and female has been under attack for decades. The sanctity of human life, beginning at conception all the way to our deathbeds, has been savaged. 60-plus unborn lives have been legally terminated in our society. What St. Paul wrote to Timothy about the end times has come true. We have become lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, and the list goes on. Listen carefully, though. The decay and the corruption isn't just out there in society somewhere. It is here in our family circles. It's in our workplaces. The stain of sin is on our hearts. The messed up motives are in our minds. The crookedness is inside of our souls. Before we can understand what it means to be the salt of the earth, we need to see Jesus as the original salt of the earth. When the people of Jesus' day kicked him in the shins, he did not retaliate. When they hurled insults at him, he did not hurl back. When they slapped and spit and savaged him, Jesus just stood there. He just knelt there and he took it. He suffered all that we deserved to suffer. He was beaten bloody and crucified until he was half dead. And a few hours later, he was dead and buried so that our sins could be forgiven, so that our sorry souls could be saved, so that there could be a light at the end of every one of our tunnels. Jesus Christ is the original salt of the earth. He has invited us to join him on a mission to live out our faith in such a way that sin is exposed, that wrong is still labeled wrong, to live our faith in such a way that evil is rebuked, in such a way that false teaching is called out. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Before refrigeration was invented, salt was absolutely essential as a preservative. Humanity has long known that food packed in salt will not spoil nearly as fast as usual. Scientists tell us that salt not only draws out the liquids in meats that could cause spoilage, but also deters bacteria. Archaeological evidence suggests that dry salting was the most common method of preserving fish, poultry, and all kinds of meat in the ancient world. A theologian named Besser wrote some time ago that what the world would prefer is that we were honey instead of salt. The statistics are clear in these days. Church attendance is in decline nationwide. Fewer and fewer folks seem to want to hear what Bible-believing churches have always taught, that there is only one name by which sinners may be saved. His name is Jesus. More and more, there it is a desire for the traditional truths of Christianity to be sugar-coated, watered down, waffled around, or as Besser would say, coated with honey instead of preserved with salt. Jesus says to us today, not that we should be the salt of the earth, nor that we should try to be the salt of the earth, but that we are the salt of the earth. By definition, salt is salty. And in the same way, by definition, the new life that we have in Christ is alive with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. By nature, salt would act as a preservative of foods in the ancient world. By nature, refrigerators these days will be doing the work of refrigerating. And by nature, according to the new life that we have in Christ this week, in this place, we will be acting as a preservative on society. The rhythm of Christianity is that God stoops down into our world with his love in the person and work of Christ. We receive that love. We enjoy that love. We are glad about that love. And then we spend our days looking for neighbors who are hungry for that love. First of all, God forgives our sins. We enjoy that forgiveness. We are glad about that forgiveness. And then we spend our days looking for neighbors who are in need of forgiveness. What interrupts the rhythm of Christianity is when people want to enjoy the forgiveness of sins without repenting of those sins. This is where being the salt of the earth is uncomfortable. As often as we urge other folks to be repenting, that often we find ourselves, as the old saying goes, in effect, pouring salt on old wounds. The preaching of the law never has been all that popular. It isn't today, and it won't be tomorrow. The church that preaches against the particular sins of today's society will be viewed in increasing numbers as unfriendly, as closed-minded,
old-fashioned, and worse. The kingdom of God is like a medium-sized church in a medium-sized city that views herself as the salt of the earth. Like Mr. Daly, the Sunday school superintendent, they keep on loving people, they keep on teaching the word of God, even when, and especially when, it doesn't seem to be working. They support the preaching of God's word both in season and out of season. They live their faith in such a way that clings to traditional truths of God's word as a way of being the salt of the earth. That is to say, as a way of preserving society from further decay and decline. Truth number two is that Christ is counting on us Christians to be the light of the world, not shades of gray. Again, before we can explore what it means for us to be the light of the world, we fix our eyes on the original, the authentic light of the world. Jesus is that great light that has shined into the darkness, but the darkness has not comprehended it. He is the light that shined forth as a baby in a manger. He is the light that shined forth by living a perfect life of obedience. He is the light that shined in public ministry by listening to hurting people and helping them, by seeking out the open sinners and having lunch with them, by going into the dark corners of Galilee and walking alongside of the down and the out. He is the light that took upon his own shoulders, you know this, all of the darkness, all of the sinfulness, all of the shamefulness of this world. And as you well know, he carried it to the cross where he cried out in the darkness to his Father, "Why have you forsaken me?" Jesus, as you well know, is the light who rose up again on Easter Sunday. And because he is risen, all is well between God and us. And because all is well between God and us, in this sanctuary, Sunday after Sunday, we worship him. We receive, we commune, we fellowship, and then we scatter. We scatter as little lights in this world, making sure not to hide the good news of forgiveness, making sure not to keep to ourselves the peace that only Christ can give, wondering out loud and quietly, how can we be letting our lights shine so that others may see our good works and glorify the Father? Dear friends in Christ, wonder with me today what it means to be a city of lights set on a hill that cannot be hidden. What does it mean to be living our faith in such a way that others see St. Paul Lutheran as a place of refuge, as a place where their deepest needs are met and satisfied by God himself? We let our lights shine not so that we would be praised, but that God would be praised. We do good works. We befriend our neighbors, not so others say what good people we are, but that they would say how great is our God. We are kind and patient and forgiving, not to somehow obtain God's favor, but because we have already received it. The kingdom of God is like a medium-sized church in a medium-sized city full of folks eager to shine their lights, to salt the earth as they live out their daily vocations. It's like a grandma who speaks a hard truth to a beloved grandchild with tears in her eyes. It's like a man who sees his coworker going down the wrong path, and he gets down on his knees that night, asking the Lord for courage and wisdom and for the right words to say. It's like a woman who walks alongside of her friend through valleys of deep depression and anxiety. It's like the teenager who has lunch with the classmate that nobody else has time for. It's like a congregation of believers who understand that Jesus has invited us to be living our faith in such a way that hurting and broken and wounded and struggling folks of all ages
and in all stations of life would be attracted to this sanctuary as a place of refuge, a proclamation of old-fashioned truth, and a beacon of hope. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in true faith unto life eternal. Amen.
Let us pray for all the people of God. Gracious God, you have established your church through your word and called a people to wear your name and to do your bidding. Guard her against all false teaching. Provide to her faithful pastors who will preach your word and administer your sacraments. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty Lord, your power is greater than the works of man. Guide and direct those whom we have elected to serve us on all levels of government. Protect those who defend us against our enemies. Bless the emergency personnel who come to our aid in times of disaster and need. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you do not forget the poor or the needy. Help us to remember those who suffer any want or need, especially the homeless, the victims of abuse, the widowed, the orphaned, and the unemployed, and help us to aid them with the many resources you have supplied, Lord, in your mercy. We pray, O Lord, for the family of Arden Williams in his recent passing, that you would comfort them with the simple truth that in Christ there is forgiveness and resurrection, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for little Maria Rose Torres, who was baptized last Sunday afternoon. We pray that you would send your angels to be with her, and that in all the chapters of her life, the evil foe would never have any power over her. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those in hospice care, including Harold, for those hospitalized in recent days, including Jim, for those with all kinds of health concerns, including Darlette, Cole, Jerry, Pastor Rosenau, Eva, Jolaine, Marsha, Brian. Heal them according to your will, Lord, in your mercy. We rejoice with Kent and Bonnie DeLong on their recent 50th wedding anniversary and pray that you would continue to bless them and that they would be a blessing to many for generations to come, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those serving in the military that you would bless them with your presence and that you would help them to live out their vocations with integrity. Bless us now as we commune at your holy table. Refresh us with your forgiveness and send us forth ready to forgive one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you. Please rise. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right, so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.